Just over a week ago, people took to the streets in protest in cities across the country. Among the concerns expressed was the threat the protesters believe what they call women's health issues are. Under the Trump administration, that's a term, by the way, many use in place of abortion. At the same time, legislation is making its way through Congress to defund Planned Parenthood, while President Trump signed an executive order ending federal funds for any overseas organization that performs abortions. The law which permits abortion is frequently talked about. The procedure, the aftermath for the mother, how about the ways that the process is practiced that falls way short of law and safety? Rarely, if ever. My first guest today has brought into the spotlight with the book released this week, which will also be a major film, the story of an abortionist who perpetrated horrors and was actually enabled by state and city government officials as well as the news media in a variety of ways. This abortion chamber of horror story is told in Gosnell, the untold story of America's most prolific serial killer. And with us to talk about it is the book's co-author, Anne McElhinney. Thanks for being here today, Anne.
Oh, it's great. Thanks a million for having me on the show.
Well, it is a story that it's one of those things, where do you begin? And I guess the question is, just as a foundation, as far as superficial appearance was concerned, who is or who was Kermit Gosnell?
Yeah, Dr. Kermit Gosnell was an abortion doctor who worked out of Philadelphia and who's serving three life sentences for delivering babies alive and then cutting their necks with scissors. He operated for 30 years. No matter what he did, he never got into trouble. For 17 years of that 30 years, no one from the Department of Health in Pennsylvania, you know, bothered to cross the threshold. Two very vulnerable women died. One, Samika Shaw, a 22-year-old black woman, who died after a botched abortion, and no one cared and no one bothered doing anything. And also, you know, you had Karnamaya Monger, a Bhutanese refugee who had spent 20 years in a refugee camp in Nepal, only to come to America 4 months later, end up dead out of that clinic, and still no one bothered to do anything. It's an extraordinary story. And if people want to buy the book, they can go to gosnellbook.com. It'll bring them to the landing page where they can buy a copy. And it's gone to number 3 this week, actually, as a bestseller. So it's people want to know what actually happened here. And the fact that the media didn't report on this, it's a scandal in itself.
Certainly, we'll get into that as we go along here, too. But as far as what Gosnell was perpetrating, he had his defenders. How were some of the ways that he was defended and protected?
Well, you know, bizarrely, a Republican governor, Tom Ridge, who became the governor of Pennsylvania in 1995, running on a pro-choice ticket. He certainly helped, because when he became governor, he said, hands off the abortion clinics. We don't want anything to interrupt women's right to choose. And because of that, the place wasn't inspected for 17 years. And, you know, equally, the people who worked at the Department of Health in Harrisburg, the people at the Department of State, all the different government agencies in Pennsylvania, you know, in some ways almost conspired to allow this mayhem to continue. And it's an extraordinary story. It's a page turner, amazing
to say the least. And you, I should say too, for you listening, Gosnell, the untold story of America's most prolific serial killer, is not a pro versus con debate on abortion. It is just the revelation of how a damaged, a weak, and inept, incompetent system allows. I won't use the term doctor for that, with this associated with this name Gosnell, because doctor is a term of responsibility and honor, and he has neither as far as his performance is concerned. But Andy, really do point out the damage that can be incurred and the horrors that could be enabled by a system at a variety of levels that is not caring and not able to do their jobs. Just the idea of the structure of Pennsylvania government, the section of government who oversaw the abortion industry, was something just unrelated.
Yeah, it's extraordinary. And as you say, this isn't an activist book. This is a journalistic piece. I mean, we're just telling the facts, and no one needs to, they don't need to be exaggerated or have an attitude to them. It's very hard for anyone to come away unmoved by these stories that just were never reported. On one level, you've got the government incompetence, government uncaring government officials. Then on another level, you also have these children that died, these small babies, some of them whom we know their stories. We know quite a lot about their stories, and we tell their stories, though they're short stories. They're very, very significant. Baby boy A, who became the baby that really nailed, the prosecution's case against Gosnell, this little boy born on the 12th of July 2008, died obviously the same day, but lived. He did live, and he was so big that Gosnell joked about him. Gosnell said, "Oh, this baby's big enough to walk me to the bus stop," before he took the scissors and cut that baby's neck. And the photograph, unfortunately, is on the internet. People can look it up. And that child, three of the workers in this hellhole, in this crazy clinic, took photographs of that baby because he had such an impact on them, and they were so sad and sorry and broken by seeing his lifeless body. So these are the stories that we're telling, and we're also telling the story of the media, who decided once this thing did get to trial that they wouldn't report on it. Another dereliction of duty. They didn't report on it. The country doesn't know. Nobody knows who this guy is. Nobody knows who Kermit Gosnell is. Nobody knows who his victims are. And they're the most vulnerable people of all. I mean, it's extraordinary.
Talking with Anne McElhinney, who is the co-author of the book Gosnell, The Untold Story of America's Most Prolific Serial Killer. GosnellBook.com is the website for the book. Also is in the process of being made into a major motion picture starring Dean Cain. And you're listening to Issues and Ideas. I haven't done an exact count, Anne, but I would hazard a guess we've heard more stories in the past week about the debate over the Trump inauguration attendance than the media did on the Gosnell trial.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, you talk about fake news, So, if ever there was a definition of fake news, I mean, there's also the absence of news, and there's the absence of reporting, which is what we have in this case. It took an enormous effort on social media of ordinary Americans hitting social media and saying, why are we not hearing about this? Why is this not being reported? And enough of them doing that till Kirsten Powers for USA Today wrote her extremely powerful op-ed, which eventually got some journalists to go and cover the trial in a little bit. But they literally went for one day, and that was it. And New York Times wrote like two or three stories, and that was it. But the whole world knows who Michael Brown is.
Yes,
Michael Brown is, but they don't know who Samika Shaw is. Michael Brown, robbed a convenience store and then assaulted the immigrant who ran that convenience store, then walked down the middle of the street in Ferguson and then tried to beat a police officer to death. And that's how he ended up dead. And everyone knows who he is. Everyone knows that name. Across the whole world, they know that name, but they don't know who Samika Shaw is. And we're changing that. That's what we're doing with this book. That is exactly what we're doing with this book. People are going to know what happened here, and they are going to give the due deference and memorialize these people who died as a result of this extraordinary story and this extraordinary man who just got away with murder because of so many people who think that abortion is so sacred that you can't touch it, that they allowed this to happen. And unfortunately, one of them was a Republican governor, the governor of Pennsylvania, Tom Ridge.
And we should point out, too, you mentioned Kirsten Powers' name. Kirsten is a liberal.
That's right. That's right. And she did a great service. She wrote her article in USA Today. And the next time that the court sat, Judge Meinhardt, who was the presiding judge, looked around and said to the jury, please try to ignore the fact that we've suddenly become a news story. Please understand, suddenly now we're a news story. Suddenly now the media have turned up. He said it three times. That's how significant her story was. And, hats off. Yeah, it took her, a liberal, but a Christian woman, actually, who had recently converted to Christianity, interestingly enough, to be the person that pointed this story out. But as a result of her doing that, it did get some media coverage. People listening will know it. Eventually, Anderson Cooper did cover it on CNN and apologized for not having been all over the story from the get-go. The New York Times wrote, the Washington Post, famously Sarah Cliff, who had called it a local crime story, and had said, that's the reason I'm not covering it. It's a local crime story. Had to roll that back 3 days later and say, where the Washington Post apologized and said, okay, we actually acknowledge this is not a local crime story. But it took an enormous effort. People like Molly Hemingway, who went after Sarah Cliff is the reason that eventually Washington Post, covered the story. So it was a massive effort on social media from ordinary people and from bloggers like Molly mentioned, also people, regular folk on Twitter, some of your listeners, who tweeted and retweeted these very strong statements from people saying, do your job, journalists, and cover this story. And as a result of that, eventually it did get some coverage.
You mentioned how the one columnist called it a local crime story. And I'm reading your book, Gosnell, The Untold Story of America's Most Prolific Serial Killer. We're talking with the co-author Anne McElhinney here on Issues and Ideas. And the concept of what if came into my mind. And the most recent numbers we have is 2014. Nationwide, there's 1,671 abortion chambers. We're here in New Jersey. New Jersey has 79 abortion-providing facilities, and 41 of those are clinics. What if Gosnell is not the only one out there that we just don't know about yet?
Yeah, and it's a very good question, and it's unfortunately the answer is there are other Gosnells, and I'll tell you how we know that. We know that because the congressional investigation into the Planned Parenthood videos have just issued their report literally, in the last weeks. And they give a very detailed account of a doctor in Texas who, once you read the affidavits from his staff, it's basically a carbon copy of what was going on at Gosnell's clinic. And we have heard stories of other extraordinary institutions, let me say in inverted commas, with also the same kind of standards, but also the same kind of mayhem going on. There's one, Louisiana gets mentioned, New Jersey gets mentioned, New York gets mentioned, he's not isolated. It's not a once-off, and that's why it's very important that people get the book. They go to gosnellbook.com and it'll bring them to the landing page where they can buy the book. And it's really important people read this, get outraged, and speak up. And, we have the book is crammed full of facts that are, that need to be known, and they need to be known generally.
Yeah, and by all means, I recommend ordering two copies over at gosnellbook.com, one for yourself, for your edification and knowledge, and one for a media member of your choosing to give them the wake-up call that they are sorely in need of. We have to come to the last couple of minutes.
What a great suggestion. Thank you for that. I like that idea.
Have to wrap up in a couple of minutes here, Anne, but you had a face-to-face with Gosnell, and this was a guy, for you listening, who... people like to collect things. This individual collected aborted babies' feet. I'll just clue you into the type of individual, the demon that we're talking about here. Was the sit down with him something you felt you had to do for the book, or something about him you wanted to see and hear this person face to face?
Yeah, I think it was really important, actually. I felt that for the book, we'd obviously been speaking to law enforcement, and we'd been talking to victims of his and other staff members. And we thought it's very important, and we got in touch with him. He's in a prison in Pennsylvania. And it wasn't at all how we expected it would be. I mean, he has the demeanor of an extremely relaxed man who's just played golf and come in for a gin and tonic. He has this mellifluous voice. He smiles all the time. We didn't have plexiglass between us and him, which is extraordinary. And he pulled his chair right up and went into my personal space, put his legs on both sides of mine, and kept on touching my leg during the interview and apologizing, and then touching my leg again and then apologizing again. And he was there in his jumpsuit, but talking like very relaxed, disappointed he couldn't get into the poetry class, talking about the fact that he's part of Nation of Islam, that he goes to their classes, that he's reading the Quran in two different translations, but says he's also a Christian, but also is very interested in Judaism, talked about being at Auschwitz. Extraordinary what he said about Auschwitz. I mean, it's all detailed. We have that chapter, it's called Meeting the Monster, and it's you really can't make this stuff up. I mean, nothing prepared me for it. It was like meeting Hannibal Lecter. He had that kind of demeanor, that kind of way of speaking, very disturbing. But I'd highly recommend people to, as I said, go to gosnellbook.com, and that'll bring them to the landing page. As I said, it's a bestseller this week. It just came out on Tuesday. And in fact, actually, we were invited last night to the White House to meet Vice President Mike Pence and his wonderful wife and Kellyanne Conway. That's the impact the book is already having. So it's just an amazing thing. And obviously today is the March for Life. And it's a good coincidence that the book is coming out the same day as the March for Life.
And New Jersey Representative Chris Smith is sponsor of H.R. 7, which has been passed by the House and is over to the Senate, and that is to permanently eliminate funding of Planned Parenthood, who is among one of those who defends individuals like Kermit Gosnell, who, in my opinion, would make Satan vomit if they were face-to-face with each other. Now, you're listening thinking, why do you want to know about or learn or read about Kermit Gosnell? Because knowing about who one is prevents the next one from ever happening again. And that's for people in the streets.
If we don't know our history, we're condemned to repeat it. I mean, this is, you know, that's that famous axiom, and it's extremely appropriate in this case. People need to know, and it's the details that matter, actually. The generalized version of it actually doesn't have the impact. It's the details are the killer, you know, and people need to know them. And as you say, I like your suggestion, buy one book and then buy a second book and give it to your journalist of choice and ask them why they never reported on this at the time.
The book is Gosnell, The Untold Story of America's Most Prolific Serial Killer. GosnellBook.com is where you can get your copies. I use that in the plural for the purpose that Ann just pointed out. Ann McElhinney, you do a service for the unborn, the victims, and you're helping in preventing more victims. Thank you for doing that, for being here today.
It was great to talk to you. Thanks a million.